Things in the spirit of the day, I would say. And as I mentioned earlier, today marks the 36th time that we have gathered on this hill to observe National Day of Mourning. Tragically, unfortunately, many of those who organized the first Day of Mourning back in 1970 are with us today in spirit only. We would like to dedicate this day to them and also dedicate this day to our brother Leonard Peltier, who has been wrongfully imprisoned by the racist U.S. government for the past 29 years. Leonard, we dedicate this day to you. In 1970, United American Indians of New England declared U.S. Thanksgiving Day a national day of mourning. And to give you a little bit of the history of as to how National Day of Mourning came into being, I have to go back to 1970. And it was the reason, because of the suppression of truth, that one sort of Frank James, my father, he was an Aquinnah Wampanoag, had been invited to address a fancy state dinner, if you will, in commemoration of the 350th anniversary of the arrival of the Pilgrims. He agreed, but the organizers of the dinner asked for a copy of the speech in advance. Again, he agreed. Within a few days, he was told by the Commonwealth of Massachusetts that you cannot give that speech because the speech was inflammatory. And after all, the reason for this dinner was brotherhood. And anything that was inflammatory would be out of place. The truth of the matter is it was the truth that was out of place. Because Wamsutta had used as his research for his speech an account written by one of the early pilgrims. And in that account, the pilgrim speaks of opening my ancestors' graves a short distance from here in Eastham. and stealing some funerary objects, and also the theft of our winter supplies of beans and squash and things of that nature. That was out of place. That was the truth. What the Commonwealth wanted to hear was, in 1621, the Indians and the Pilgrims all sat down at this big table, enjoyed their little nut cups, had a little bit of turkey, and lived happily ever after. Well, I'm here to say nothing could be further from the truth. I saw a sign out here a few moments ago that said in 1637, Governor Winthrop declared the first general day of Thanksgiving for the Massachusetts Bay Colony. And he did that to give thanks to Almighty God for the safe return of the Massachusetts men who had gone down to participate in the massacre of the Pequots. That is the truth, and that is why we are standing here today. On that first National Day of Mourning, back in 1970, we buried Plymouth Rock, that little pebble just down over the hill, not once, but twice. After we buried it the first time, they sent the fire department in to hose it off, and we just went back and buried it again. And also on that day, we boarded the Mayflower, that's that little boat that's down there, and we tore the Union Jack from the mast, and we put up the flag that was flown over Alcatraz Island by people of all tribes in 1969. And I'm proud to say the United American Indians did that. Yeah. Now that first day of mourning was a powerful demonstration of Native unity. But today is also a powerful demonstration of not only Native unity, but the unity of all people who want the truth to be told, and they want to see an end to the oppressive system brought to these shores by the Pilgrim invaders. Oh, oh, oh. Now those who started the first National Day of Mourning could not have envisioned that we would still be here year after year carrying on this tradition. But I am sad to report that the conditions that were reported on in 1970 in Indian country still prevail today. We still demand an end to the corrupt Bureau of Indian Affairs. That demand was a demand back in 1970, and it is still valid today. When will Native nations be free to govern themselves? And why has no one prosecuted the BIA for the outright theft of hundreds of millions of dollars in trust money? And how dare the BIA sit in judgment of who is Native and who is not? How dare they tell the Nipmuc, the Chinook, and the Damwon that they are no longer real? And who are they to fail to recognize our brothers down the street, the Mashpee Wampanoag? How dare they fail to recognize them? Back in 1970, those who started National Day of Mourning spoke of terrible racism and poverty. Sadly, racism and poverty are alive and well. Not only Native people, but many people are mired in the deepest poverty. Many of us lack decent health care, education, and housing. Every winter, thousands of our people have to make a bitter choice between heating and eating. Our youth suicide rates, our rates of alcoholism continue to be the highest in the nation. And as the economy crumbles, those conditions will only worsen. And today we mourn the loss of millions of our ancestors and the devastation of our beautiful land, our water, and our air. We pray for the people who have died during this past year. And I hope you will join me in grieving too for the immense suffering of our sisters and brothers in Afghanistan and Palestine and in Iraq. Yeah. Those people people are human beings that are referred to by many in this country as collateral damage. But we remember all too well that our people throughout the Americas, and when I say the Americas, I'm going from the tip of the North Pole to the tip of South America, both East and West. I am not talking just about North America. I'm talking about the Americas. And we have for centuries been collateral damage since the European invasion. Now, we condemn all acts of terrorism and violence perpetrated by all governments and organizations against innocent civilians worldwide. And we condemn the racial profiling and detentions that are to this day being directed against our Arab, South Asian, and Muslim brothers and sisters in this country. We condemn that strongly. Since the arrival of Columbus and the rest of the Europeans on our lands, Native people have been virtual non-stop victims of terrorism. I think of the slaughter of the Pequots in Mystic in 1637, and I think of the U.S. military massacres of peaceful Native people at Wounded Knee and Sand Creek and so many, many other places. And I think of the armed assault by the FBI on a peaceful encampment in Pine Ridge in the 1970s, 1975, I believe. In fact, the very foundations of this powerful and wealthy country are the theft of our lands and slaughter of Native peoples and the kidnapping and enslavement of our African-American sisters and brothers. And the U.S.-assisted terrorism against Native peoples continues to this day in all too many countries in Central and South America. Native people were also the first victims of bioterrorism in this country. The illnesses that the Europeans brought devastated us. Many villages right here in this area were laid waste by European diseases brought by the trading ships before the pilgrims even arrived. But the destruction was not merely a biological accident. We know that smallpox was often spread intentionally by Lord Jeffrey Amherst and others who distributed smallpox-infested blankets to our ancestors. Entire Native nations were wiped out as a result of this. And I think that every Native person who is standing here today is a survivor of smallpox. A large number of our Native people are veterans and have family members in the armed services. I'm pleased to say that my oldest son, Wamsutta's grandson, about a year ago returned from Iraq safely, at least physically safely. And I pray that he stays healthy. But I also pray for the day that no more sons, no more brothers, no more mothers, no more sisters, fathers, and so forth have to be sent from this country off to invade another sovereign nation for absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. And we express our grave concern that as political repression increases in this country, prison conditions will even get worse for our brother Leonard Peltier and for other political prisoners such as Mumia Abu-Jamal. And these are indeed difficult times, but our ancestors and our traditions will give us the strength that we need. Always we must remember that we shall endure. A handful of us somehow managed to survive Columbus and the conquistadors and the pilgrims and the French and all the other invaders. To the beautiful Native youth who are here today, remember what your ancestors went through to bring you here. We are like the dirt, we are like the sand, and we are like the tides. We shall endure, and the struggle will continue. In the spirit of Crazy Horse, in the spirit of Zapata, in the spirit of Metacom, and in the spirit of Geronimo, we are not vanishing, and we are definitely not conquered, and we are stronger than ever. Whole. No.
morning, sisters and brothers. It's afternoon, but it feels like morning. We wanted to thank Cesar and Amerigo from Incason in Cambridge, who honor us by being here today representing Inca people, and honor us by coming with their music. Cesar will be playing flute at the social afterward also, so we thank them for coming here today. You know, when we come here every year and I look out at the beautiful harbor here, you can kind of, if you look a certain way, you can blot out houses and boats and stuff, and you see what the world must have looked like back in 1620 before before the white people started arriving here, and what a beautiful world it was and still is. And when I look out, bring my vision in closer and look out at the crowd here and see people standing together in unity of all ages, socioeconomic backgrounds, look at the beautiful variation in the skin colors out here. It reminds us of the possibilities of this world and of the possibilities of unity. And it's a beautiful thing. And I feel honored to be able to see this every year. I wanted you to know also that we do have a few chairs up here if we have any elders or other people who feel a need to sit. It's a long time to stand, and we have the chairs here to accommodate you. If you need any assistance, the wonderful people wearing the yellow caution tape things on their arms, those are our security people, and they will assist you or provide you with information. And we ask that you please respect them and do as they ask. For those of you who don't know what we do today, we're going to have a speak out. At the time of the speak out, we only have Native voices speaking. Our elders who started National Day of Mourning back in 1970 felt very strongly that after all of those years of everybody speaking for us, that there had to be at least one day a year when we spoke for ourselves. So you only hear Native voices here. But we welcome those of you who come from other backgrounds, and we especially want to welcome those of you who've come from a long distance today. I know people have come from Maine and New Hampshire, and the bus from New York finally got here, and things like that. So we welcome you very warmly. I was, after we have the speak out, we will then have a march through the streets of Plymouth, and we will then have a social later following that, and we invite everyone to come to that. I was also thinking about the fact that National Day of Mourning has been ongoing since 1970, and about how, unfortunately, some things have not changed much for Native people during that time. I see my kids in school now facing some of the same kind of anti-Indian books and attitudes that many of us here recall facing years ago. My kids asked me why there are so many books for children that make it seem as though there was no one here when the white settlers arrived or moved west. One of their books that they brought home the other day said that the white settlers moving west, and it shows page after page of just vacant scenery, all of a sudden a stranger appeared. The stranger, of course, was a Native person. How can we be called strangers in our own land? They want to know, my children want to know, why there are still sports teams such as the Cleveland Indians, Atlanta Braves, and Washington Redskins. When these teams have names and mascots that are so clearly racist, and when Native people have been telling these teams for so many years that it offends us. My children want to know how it is that the government of the Pilgrims, by the Pilgrims, for the Pilgrims, can refuse to grant recognition to nations such as the Mashpee Wampanoag and the Skaticook here in New England. It seems sometimes that so little has changed despite all of our efforts. But if we were to get discouraged and give up, we would not be honoring our commitments to our children and to the seventh generation. At National Day of Mourning, one of the things that we talk about every year is the genocide of Native peoples. This year, we find that we have a new word in our vocabulary. Katrina-cide. We feel utter horror that the racist United States government stood by while thousands of poor people, most of them African American, many of them elders and mothers and children, suffered and died needlessly as a result of Hurricane Katrina. I will not go into this in detail because you have seen it and felt it too. And in addition to the horror that we feel at what happened to the people of New Orleans and through Alabama and Mississippi, we feel a choking rage. Katrina has exposed for all the world to see the ugly truth about class and race, poverty, war, and militarism in this country. The government and charities such as the Red Cross are rolling in money, but not doing anything meaningful with it. The government, in fact, is treating the dispossessed survivors of Katrina just the way that Indians have traditionally been treated. First, the survivors were labeled as criminals. They were looting because they were trying to get water and food. Then the survivors were forced into internment camps where they had inadequate sanitation, food, and water. Then, further on, they've been treated as helpless wards who are not capable of making any decisions for themselves. We must support the demands of the victims of Hurricane Katrina to have the right to chart their own futures. Key to this will be listening to activists and leaders within the African American community in the Gulf states and taking direction from them regarding the kind of solidarity that they need and the demands they are making. We must not allow New Orleans to be built as an urban Disneyland on the bodies of the thousands who died because the government did not consider their lives important. We owe it to the victims of Katrina, to poor and working people, to the world, and to ourselves to find ways to help turn our outrage over Katrina into a mass grassroots movement for social justice, the likes of which this country has never before seen. It is crucial that we forge real unity between the movement against the war and the movements of oppressed, poor, and working people in a struggle for economic, social, and political rights. When we are building this new movement, we must make sure as well that Native issues are in the forefront, not a token afterthought, and that the case of Native political prisoner Leonard Peltier is always emphasized. There are all too many people out there who do not even know who Leonard Peltier is. And don't worry, if you are here today and don't know who he is, we will be talking about him a lot today. And we will have a message from him again this year. I want to urge everyone here today to participate in the National Day of Absence in honor of Rosa Parks. This important event will take place on Friday, December 1st, which is the 50th anniversary of Rosa Parks' famous refusal to give up her seat on the bus to a white man. And by the way, for those of you who don't know, Rosa Parks' grandmother was Creek. She is one of us, our people as well. December 1st will be a day against poverty, racism, and war, and in particular, it is a day to demand justice for the survivors of Katrina. In Boston, the Rosa Parks Human Rights Day Committee is being led by African American community leaders, including Tony Vandermeer of UMass Boston and Chuck Turner of the Boston City Council. And the Boston Committee has called for a community march and rally beginning at 11 o'clock from Dudley Street and Blue Hill Avenue, through downtown Boston's shopping district and on to City Hall. In New York, there will be a mass demonstration that will shut down Wall Street. Yeah. City councils in Boston, Oakland, Detroit, New York, and other cities have passed resolutions declaring December 1st Rosa Parks Day and urging all businesses, public and private, either to close or allow workers and students who wish to participate in Rosa Parks activities to do so without consequences. We urge everyone to stay away from school and work on December 1st and to participate in a march or in an event in your area. Sisters and brothers, in Puerto Rico 2 months ago, on the anniversary of El Grito de Lares, the FBI assassinated Filiberto Ojeda Rios in a raid that was eerily reminiscent in some ways to the 1975 FBI raid at Pine Ridge that led to Leonard Peltier's wrongful conviction. For those of you who may not know, Don Filiberto Ojeda Rios was a longtime leader of the Puerto Rican independence movement. An elder of 72, he was gunned down at his house by FBI agents. Don Filiberto's wounds would not have been fatal had he been given emergency treatment. However, the FBI cordoned off his house for 24 hours and refused to allow any medical personnel near him, so Don Filiberto lay there and bled to death. This is the kinder, gentler nation. According to the compañera of Don Filiberto, his final words as he lay dying were, "Palante siempre," forever onward. So I will close today by saying, in the spirit of Crazy Horse, "Palante siempre."
Palante siempre.